Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Welcome back then. Keep your messages coming. 0833 97 97 97 is our WhatsApp. 0833 97 97 97. That's WhatsApp or text. You can email studio at kfmradio.com. And of course, you can also talk to us on the phone to speak to Hannah or indeed any of the team on 045 901 490, or indeed main number 045 898 999. The winners, the five winners. Hundreds, lads, came in for the prizes yesterday. So we went through the whole thing, got everyone into the draw, made sure everyone was included. And the five winners of that amazing book chronicling 50 years of Sam Maguire winners, 1928 to 1998. Is that 50 years? It is. Anyway, the old head's getting me. Dermot Riley from Carbery, a man who wore the Kildare jersey himself with great pride and some distinction as well, and one of the country's foremost sports journalists, Colm Keyes. He's a Meath man, but he's very, very welcome, and he's forgiven for that as well. It's an amazing tome, huge, hardback, 450 plus pages, listing all the winners from 1928 onwards, listing the teams, the results, the scorers, and reports on the matches. Winner number one, Virginia Coyle, Hazelmere in Naas. Number two, Kevin Bergen in Newbridge. Number three, Caroline O'Connell, Lakeview in Blessington. Number four, Brendan Doyle, Rye River Court in Leixlip. And the fifth winner, dun, 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 can't read my own writing here now, Tighe Conway in Selbridge. Congratulations to all of you. We're not posting it. Thanks to everyone who entered it. You have to collect it here at the KFM Broadcast Centre. We're in the M7 Business Park, just a couple of hundred metres off the M7 at exit 10. You must come and collect it. We'll ring you later to confirm. And if you don't come and collect it within 2 weeks, we have drawn a number of names who are subs and we'll be giving it to them instead. So now you've been told. Now, we're going to be talking to the IFA in just a couple of minutes' time in regards to that. But thanks for the messages that are coming in regards to that. And I'll just clear the decks on one or two. Someone that missed voice call, I wasn't able to take that. But Hannah took a call from a listener, and it was in regard to the item we did on migrants coming into this country, working in the healthcare sector, and the low levels of pay they're getting compared to their qualifications. A listener called in saying that if there are teachers abroad coming to teach, do they need to know Irish? Well, they don't need to know honours level Irish, as far as I know, like Irish teachers do, but they have to have a competence in Irish. That's Irish people who are born in Ireland. I don't think that people coming into Ireland, how could they have a competence in Irish? Are they allowed to teach here? Anyway, this listener says there's people in Ireland who want to teach but do not have honours level Irish, which causes them to have to go off for a year or two to get that qualification. The listener also has a son in social care and doesn't think he will earn the 28,000 like Ruth Coppinger said. The listener says she thinks Ireland needs to look after the likes of the qualifications needed for teachers here before getting people abroad in, and social work care workers here aren't being treated well, which is why they're leaving. There's merit in the point you're making about the social care workers. Whatever about the teachers, I don't think we're importing teachers as such because of the qualifications that might be needed. But we're certainly importing nurses who mightn't have the work permits to work as fully registered nurses, male and female. They end up in the home care sector, and we're aware that the rates of pay in the home care sector is possibly one of the reasons why, in particular, private home care organisations are finding it difficult to recruit people, not to mention, of course, the work. And I have to say, and hello, Mammy, if you're listening down in Clare there, all 92 years of you. My mam has a couple of great carers who come in for an hour in the morning and an hour in the afternoon. You know the drill yourself. The care and dedication that those people give my mam, I've witnessed it. It's just, it's a vocation. And it would want to be a vocation to do the job that they do and the care that they do and the duties that they bring with it. So here's Clem saluting all the home care workers who provide that service for our older people in this country. They are among the true heroes of this nation. Morning, Clem. Grand to hear you back as a listener. Where did I close some of these texts? These are not the nine texts, but it's the way they pop up on the side and then I can't read the WhatsApp. Lovely to hear you. Could you please tell me where we might purchase a copy of that lovely book you spoke about yesterday with pictures and memories of Kildare teams? Yeah, it's in all good bookshops everywhere. No, it's £34.99. It's pricey, but, you know, you often wonder and go around, as Clem does, saying, what'll I buy so-and-so? And it would be one of the things. And book two is in the making, I think, or at least that's the intention anyway. A listener says, before shopping, never shop on an empty stomach. Look up the special offers on the web before you go shopping. Do a list. Always check the items on the upper shelves and the very bottom. Oh. As supermarkets want to sell, the things that supermarkets prefer to sell are always at eye level. Bread, milk are always spread out. Well, you know yourself, you're always taken on a tour of the supermarket and stuff like that. I know you won't read this, but isn't this why Newbridge has... No, I'm not going to read it, he's right. So don't send me in something like that, please, because I can't read it out for legal reasons. Good morning, Clem. Regarding the shopping, says a listener. And what about it in regards to this? I shop in a particular supermarket. As you see, I have €25 on my next shop of 125. I have 2,292 points, which is €22 in vouchers off my Christmas shop. Liz says, the more you shop and use your points cards, the more money you get back. Generally, when they say to me in the supermarket, have you got the card? I say no, because I don't know what they're talking about. Just end up anyway. Hi, Clem. I have to be entering competitions on KFM since it went on air. It shows how lucky I am, says Brendan Byrne in Hackettstown. I never won anything. All right, Brendan, we'll see what we can do for you. Thomas O'Connor, good morning to you and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Clem, and good morning to all the listeners.
Right, you are the chairperson of the Kildare branch of the Irish Farmers Association. The RSA, the Road Safety Authority, is considering the feasibility of NCT-style tests for tractors and agricultural machinery. By the way, regards to the fella driving the tractor last night on my way home to a tie with no lights on in the dark. But anyway... And that applies to others as well. Why shouldn't agricultural machinery be subjected to the same type of NCT, particularly agricultural machinery that we see on our roads?
Well, if you look at the majority of machinery that's on the road, so if you take commercial tractors, so you're like, say, your contractors, any tractor that's over the speed of, that can travel over the speed of 40 kilometres an hour is subject to an NCT. And that's obviously, if you look at the size and the weight that them machines that travel the roads, the public roads, we have no issue with those tractors being subject to that. But it's when you get down to, and even if I look at my own case, my own farm, I have certain tractors that never leave the yard. And if you go down to that level, it's going to be the dynamics of trying to get every tractor passed for that is just not going to be possible. Like,
why, Thomas?
Well, I have tractors in the yard. I have a tractor in the yard, and its sole job, it never leaves my yard. Its sole job is scraping the yard. It's never on a road.
Right. Let me throw this at you then, and people will say, right, why should I need an NCT test if I'm not in the road? But you're driving around your farm, Thomas, and you will have family members, you'll have other workers in that farm, and yourself as a driver. Where does safety come into it then, that it should trump the need for an NCT?
Well, farm safety, and especially with machinery, like at least once every 5 years, my farm is inspected for farm safety. From an employment point of view, I have to keep my tractors and all machinery to a high standard to get insurance, which is a vital important. And farm safety itself is always something within the organisation we promote. And from our own conscience, from our own point of view, from an employer's point of view, it's always paramount that we keep all our machineries, our tools, or our facilities to a safe working environment.
Right, every 5 years. That's interesting, because that's quite a time span in terms of it. Now, I'm not trying to rain on anyone's parade, but I'm just coming from the perspective as to why any piece of mechanised equipment, because it is being used in the course of a day, in the course of work, and as you say, in terms of whether it's a construction site or anywhere else, we're all, as employers, subjected to safety on that. Is there a question as well over the changing, I suppose, specs of agricultural vehicles in terms of weight, size, everything like that as well?
Yes, like modern machinery, it's obvious for everyone to see, like it's getting bigger and wider on roads, but it also is coming with its own different safety criteria. Like every tractor is legally meant to have two beacons on its roof when travelling the road. They're meant to be turned on. All lights are meant to be working. And there's different safety signage that's on both the implements and on the tractors themselves as well.
Yeah.
And that's, that's something that we should always, we're always promoting that farmers do. And we would always disencourage people that don't have that done.
Yeah, and I know, Thomas, you'd be a very responsible farmer, and I'm not going to suggest by my next question for a moment that you would tacitly or otherwise approve of it. But how confident can we that the kind of vehicles that you're talking about that are only used within the confines of a farm never go off the farm and go onto public roads? Isn't that an issue, really, that might concern safety experts, that it's all right to say, and we believe you, Thomas O'Connor, as a responsible farmer, would never do that, but I think it would be fair to say we can't rule out the fact that such vehicles are not brought onto public roads at some stage, and therefore the NCT should be all-encompassing, some people might say.
Well, from a practicality point of view, like when we talk about the tractors that aren't currently NCT'd are on your typical smaller farm that's doing these few routine jobs around his yard. From a practicality point of view, to get these tested is one major issue. And the also issue, if you look at, we don't, a tractor is clocked by hours on the clock. That's what determines the amount of work it's done. 95% of a tractor's work is done in a field or a farmyard.
I know that, but I'm talking about the fact that these vehicles can and could be brought onto public roads, even the restricted ones that you're talking about. And as such, then, they present a possible danger to people in terms of the roadworthiness. And I'm just making the point to you, does that not itself make a case that all mechanised vehicles should be NCT'd?
There's always a case there for road safety and for farmer safety and health right. safety. And if a tractor is not of the legal standard to be on a public road, we're not going to be encouraging something like that.
All right, I know that and I accept that. What about that, by the way, that there's also a possible provision that there would be a restriction that vehicles would require testing if it travelled more than 25 kilometres from its base?
That's the complicated issue, like, and it especially if you look at tillage farmers, especially that could end up renting ground a distance away from their original farmyard. That's where it's more a complicated issue. But generally, the farmers that are taking land that distance away from their farmyard will have those tractors that can travel in excess of the 40 kilometres.
All right. So, and just to alert people, by the way, that there are very heavy penalties for this, up to €5,000 or imprisonment for up to 3 months if you haven't the roadworthiness test for what's called a fast tractor for commercial use. The NCT, we all have to do NCTs, you know, 146.52. So is the only thing that you're looking for, if you like, not to have to do, are those type of vehicles into which you use exclusively within a farm? But at the end of the day, Thomas, how do we know as the public, how does the Road Safety Authority know which vehicles are which?
Well, this comes back to maybe a lot of things we could put in relation to agriculture. We have a lot of legislation that's been thrown at us from maybe an environmental point of view and different things, and how you practically enforce these measures is maybe a different conversation we could have someday, Clem, because if the laws that were there at present were fully enforced, I think we wouldn't be talking about this issue.
All right.
The level of tractors that are on the road, especially modern machinery, just said it, that are travelling less than the 40 kilometres an hour, it's few and far between.
All right. The Road Safety Authority currently examining the feasibility of compulsory roadworthiness testing for all agricultural vehicles and will be making recommendations on these before the end of the year, with the IFA's position being articulated by Thomas O'Connor, chair of the Kildare branch, of saying, you know, that shouldn't be the case for vehicles used within the farm exclusively and never go on public roads. But as I said, how do we know? Anyway, Thomas, we'll talk again, and thank you for joining us this morning on the programme. Kildare Chairperson of the Irish Farmers Association, Thomas O'Connor. Have a good day, Thomas, and stay safe, you and your colleagues who do such valuable work on the farms. That's Thomas O'Connor. Taking a break after this, we're heading, going to hear about issues in Clane. Also, good news on the bus provision front in parts of the county with the 120 bus, and heading back to Athy for some issues arising from the municipal district meeting there.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Right, let's get some listeners' views. And Sil Conlon, whose address is Ballandoolan in Edenderry, County Kildare. Have we an ex-Edenderry now, Sam? Or Sil, rather, who entered the competition yesterday as well. And I meant to go back to your text today, and thanks for sending in again, Sil, who said, there's a film clip of the 1919 All-Ireland Final. It shows action in the Kildare goalmouth, and I'm sure Ginger Moran from Kilcock shows up in it. God, I must check that out in regards to that. Morning, Clem. What about the tractor that travels along the road and doesn't bother pulling in? Oh, don't get me going. Don't trigger my migraine, please. The tractor that bounces along. Your man in the seat of the tractor, popping up and down. Boom, 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 boom. And hoovering up the cars behind him. And just won't turn into a gateway. Oh, it ages me. And I'm sure I'm not the only one in regard. I was going to actually say that to Thomas, but I didn't want to be unfair to him by saying, Thomas, would you make an appeal to all farmers? Would they pull in the bloody tractor into a gateway when they have more than three or four cars behind them? They're only going to lose a couple of seconds. This is a very difficult issue to police, says Joy. I live in the countryside and you see a lot of very young people. You do. Driving big machines around, and we've had fatalities with kids driving these. You do, is right, Joy. I've seen some very, very young people driving tractors. We're producing 7 movies, with each having a cast of between 5 and 14 members, says a listener. The movies that have been selected, this is Kill GAA running its biggest ever fundraiser called the Oscars to help funds for the club. They're not the only ones. Aaron St. Lawrence is doing the same thing. Isn't Johnny Dyle starring in one of the Oscar films, or is he a judge or a critic? Kill GAA is doing it anyway. They each have a cast of between 5 and 14 members. The movies that have been selected are Coyote Ugly, Hairy Babies, The Snapper. I love The Snapper. I watched it again over the last few days. It was on again. So funny. Colm Meaney should have got an Oscar for that. Rocky IV, Bridesmaids, Sisters Act and The Hangover, which I watched again recently as well. So they're going to have a gala awards tonight on Saturday, October 21st in Lawler's Hotel Nace, and it promises to be an evening of great entertainment. Whoever sent me in that notice, would you send it to info@kfmradio.com for our Kildare Diary, and anybody else that wants local events published, email info@kildarediary or info@kfmradio.com, and we'll put it on our Kildare Diary free of charge for you 4 times a day. Clem, regarding the tractor not leaving the farm, what independent person is checking tractors mechanically? The PTO, the tyres, the brakes. Farmers looking for special treatment again. Young fellas driving high-powered tractors with trailers and never did a truck articulated test, says Jack in Castledermot, who says he had to do his test. There you go. And Mickey Mead says, I agree that all vehicles in public roads should be tested in regards to that. Right, let's see who I have on the line now at the moment. And I think I might have Des Drum. Good morning, Des.
Good morning, Glenn.
Are you the cricket Des of Halverstown?
I am indeed, yes.
Right,
yes.
Good to talk to you. Halverstown Cricket Club. The old season finished. What kind of a season did you have, Des?
Well, I think we had a goodish season. The first team finished fourth. Now, there were only eight teams in their division, Division 13. And the second team, we finished seventh out of nine. So we avoid relegation.
Good stuff. And Des, do you think that an all-star hurler with 49 All-Ireland titles like myself would make a good cricket player?
49 All-Ireland? Wow.
I'm dreaming, Des.
A great cricket player.
I'm just dreaming in relation to that. But anyway, Halverstown Cricket Club, and it's great to see cricket going as well in the county. Historically a great game. And remember, Michael Cusack once considered cricket as our national game before the GA was set up. And North Kildare have a great club as well. And if you look at our Kildare diary, you will see, by the way, a notice about cricket if you want to try it out, both here in the county and also in Talla. So have a look at our KFMradio.com website and you'll see that. But Des, you're more concerned about something else altogether. Traffic issues in Clane, you got in touch. What's on your mind?
Well, it was in response to Owen Beattie's interview with Councillor Porrick McAvoy.
Yes.
And I sent an email in.
Let me read it for listeners.
Yeah.
What you said was, I have no faith in the process of the town centre plan for Clane and its constituent workshops. We had Kildare County Council's realm plan for Clane about 5 or 6 years ago, which included, yes, workshops and plenty of local government. I'm sure that the company which did this was very happy with Kildare County Council, except that we have another town centre plan being proposed now and more workshops. So jaw, as I presume what you're getting at. And then you said, point two, you're absolutely correct about the shocking level of traffic in Clane. But Councillor McAvoy's dismissive response to you is what we've been hearing for a long time now. You've been fair to Porrick there, but he doesn't strike me as the guy that would ever be dismissive.
Well, I suppose the comment really is because when Owen raised the shocking level of traffic in Clane issue, Councillor McAvoy said that the bulk of traffic, and he claims research shows this, is local traffic and that it's local people and they need to walk more, walk or cycle or whatever, and that would be, and he seemed to think that would be enough.
Well, I would feel, as one who goes through Clane a lot, that I know there are roundabouts now where you can swing around the outside of the town, but I still think there are major traffic issues in Clane. Just like in Athy, which was constantly and still is gridlocked on all approach roads, which hopefully the new road opening, the Ring Road, which Aoife Breslin told us is opening on October 31st, will relieve. And to sum up your point, Des Drum, you say Clane needs a major bypass.
Yeah, I think it's needed it for quite some time. And I think the council has just ignored Clane over the years. And especially when you see that they have, I think what happened with the bypassing of Salins is that the road through Clane became a nice link to two major motorway networks. And then you have Kildare County Council giving planning permission for distribution centres in Newbridge, which is near one motorway network, but has to go through Clane to access the other one. And similarly in Kilcock, where they're near one motorway network going west and north, but have to come through Clane to get to one going southeast and south. And so we have loads of trucks going through, we have loads of traffic. And in Councillor McAvoy's comment that it is local traffic is the main issue, I mean, how can that be when you have tailbacks going from Clane right up to Blackhall Stead? Now, those aren't local people coming in because local people, well, and they certainly, local people certainly can't walk in because there is no path across Alexander Bridge. So it's not local traffic. And similarly, coming in from the Kilcock Road, where, as Owen says, it can back up as far as Congo's College. You know, that's not local traffic. Local people do walk into the village. I see it often. But there is a limit to the amount that walking can solve the problems of coming in to do your shopping, for example.
All right.
Or if the weather's bad.
All right.
Or if you have a disability. Or if you're old. Or if you have children. I mean, people have to use cars. And I think it is quite dismissive to say, you need to walk more out there, guys.
All right, Des, we're going to leave it there because I'm a bit pushed up for time, and I'm sure Councillor McAvoy will come back to respond to that as well. But yes, Clane, like many other towns around the county, suffering the blight of constantly gridlocked traffic. And yes,
yeah, and it is mostly through traffic. And you look at Charleville, which had their Enough is Enough campaign, and I think Clane needs something like that.
Okay, and the same, I'll have to leave it there, Des, and the same at Adair in County Limerick, which they're looking to pass, and there were places in Cork as well, which were nightmares for years. And certainly, I think that certainly most major towns or urban centres definitely need a bypass. But I also would subscribe to the view that the more we walk and the more pedestrianisation we have of our town centres, the better it would be as well. That's Des Drum, famously of Halverstown Cricket Club, but also resident of Clane, articulating those local issues. And thanks very much for that, Des, and good morning to you. Let's move around now with a bit of good news then in regards to that. And Councillor Aidan Farley, Social Democrat Councillor. Good morning, Aidan.
Morning, Clem. Morning, listeners.
I saw a tweet from you last night, Aidan. We have some good news on the bus front, have we?
Thanks, Clem. It's very hard to actually have these two conversations in isolation. I think it's important to be considering these issues in the round, just as some of the points that Des has made there. We need more public transport options available, and your listeners might remember the 120, which is a very popular route serving from Edenderry, usually, or Prosperous as a starting point into Dublin. It's a really busy, busy commuter line, especially for people in Clane, Prosperous and further afield that don't have access to trains. The go-ahead service provider took over that route a couple of years ago, and I would have spent a lot of time, had public meetings this week, actually last year, where people were really, really concerned and frustrated over the manner of the service provision. At that time, it was no shows. I think you'll remember there was a lot of ghost buses, a lot of people being poorly served by this bus. But in the last year, I think it's fair to say Go Ahead have really stepped up to the mark. We've had a lot of, I've been meeting with their managing director very, very regularly on this and explaining the issues and the things that are working well, to the point where we've both, I suppose, communicated to the National Transport Authority regularly that now there's a capacity issue. We've heard what Des is saying there about the huge traffic and the huge problems of congestion. Clane has seen substantial population increases, population growth. We've also, the impact of the Salins bypass
okay.
has really, really critically impacted people in Clane. So now we have 8 additional services on the 120 line, which won't fix everything, but it's really, really positive step in terms of more public transport, gets more people out of cars, and it's a really positive step.
And when are those services going to become available, did you say?
So they've been sanctioned now by the National Transport Authority, and they'll start rolling out. The timetable will be updated from the 19th of November.
Okay, and finally, Aidan, just give us a snapshot of the route that the 120 covers.
So the 120 starts inbound towards Dublin. It starts in Edenderry, and it travels that kind of road from Edenderry out through Adair and Turn, Allan Wood, Prosperous, Kyle Dove, Clane, and then some buses go straight from Clane, I suppose, out onto the motorway and into Dublin, and then some will go through Strathland, through Selbridge and out that way also, and then vice versa. It kind of copies itself back then from Dublin, from the Keys. It's the main commuter artery for people who don't drive in from this area unless you kind of travel to Salins or Maynooth or Kilcock for the train station. We don't have that option out here.
All right.
We rely on that bus service.
All right. On that bit of good news, Social Democrats Councillor Aidan Farrelly. Thanks, Aidan, for joining us this morning. Have a good day, you. And indeed, keep up that work as well. Now, a couple of quick messages before we go to the break, and then we're going to crime time in a couple of minutes' time. John gave me thumbs up, said, now you're back. He says, love to hear you play a song by Randy Miser of the Eagles, who died during the summer. It's a classic, Take It to the Limit, and your listeners would love it. I have no doubt whatsoever they would, but I'm absolutely up the walls, busy. John, thanks for that. These vouchers in supermarkets and 3 for 2 drive me mad, says a listener. It's a trick. How can it cost so much more for not having a club card? €10 off when you spend so much is only to get us to spend more in the same supermarket. True. I also wonder about this club card crack. When you see it, the club card is peculiar, I think, to Tesco. Why they can offer a price on the so-called club card that is substantially cheaper if you buy it and you don't have a club card. You know, the yellow sign or whatever else. Morning, Clem. For years I drove a cement truck, which was tough work on a vehicle going on sites. But we had to get our trucks DOE'd every year. So should farm vehicles for everyone's safety, says a listener. I think the general feeling is that all mechanised vehicles should be subject to safety checks. We can run a sweet shop in this country. Wake up. It's pure volume in Clane. A bypass was meant to happen 20 years ago. We can't run a sweet shop, says that listener who has no faith. And Clem, I remember in 1984, RTE showed that 1919 clip, says Sil Conlon. All Ireland, Ginger Moran, later opened a bike shop when he moved to Hidden Derry. Brendan O'Reilly was all set to interview him about his life story, but unfortunately he sadly passed away a couple of days earlier. Oh, Clem, Ballandoolin is definitely in Kildare. All the pain we went through when Meath and Offaly were winning all those All-Irelands. No local pub to drink in. It was Larkins in Eden, Derry or Ballyboggan in Meath. The Kildare supporters in the rest of the county don't realise how handy they had it. Sure, that's all with all the border parishes. Look at Ballyline and Anathigh. I said to someone yesterday, well done to St Joseph's, Bally Adams, on winning the Leash Senior Football title. I nearly got et up a stick. I was asked, what about Ballylinan? They won the intermediate title. Oh, things get very delicate when you have parish rivalries.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Nace. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
Okay, Garda Shane Smith of Clane Garda Station. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, thank you for having me on.
And thank you for joining us this morning. Now, Shane, we have to begin, and we're going to be going to a number of serious incidents around the county. We're in Newbridge, Clonard, also the Gaels called Green Road in Newbridge, Whitehorn in Naas, the Rico's shop in Kilcock, and other items as well. You've quite a lot, actually, on this Ballymore Eustace, a couple of incidents there, and community programmes, if we have time to fit those in. But, Shane, you won't mind if I ask you about this, if you can comment on it. Two articles that have appeared in The Independent within 24 hours on independent.ie. Today's headline, Gardaí on the alert as dangerous gangland target James Nelly Walsh is hiding out in a County Kildare town.
On Garcia Kana, do not comment on named individuals.
Right.
That's all I can say in relation to that matter.
Okay, and does that apply to yesterday's story as well?
Again, we just do not comment on named individuals.
Right. Can you even comment beyond, without commenting on the named individuals, as to what Gardaí might be doing or how they might be responding?
Again, Gardaí do not comment on operational procedures and such matters.
Right. I understand how you will be under operating under particular instructions in regard to that. And I'll ask you one more final question on this before we move on. We're told that a major Garda alert is in place for one of these figures. Is there a major Garda alert in place?
Again, Gardaí do not comment on named individuals.
All right. Okay, I understand where you're coming from and how you're precluded in regards to that, but we must ask the questions. For those who missed the programme this morning, we did profile both those articles extensively. If we have time, we'll do so again, including audio. Let's get then to other local issues. An abduction, a very serious incident on Ballymoney Road in Newbridge.
Yes, last Saturday at 10 p.m, Gardaí are investigating a reported abduction in the Ballymanny Road area of New Bridge. It is reported that a male was forced into a van, possibly grey in colour, by other males and was assaulted before being released. So again, that is in the Ballymanny Road in Newbridge, heading towards Maxwell out of town, around 10 a.m. And we're asking if anyone's in the area, has dash cams, was delivery drivers going by, or anything like that, could aid Gardaí, could they please contact Newbridge Gardaí.
Okay, to Ballycowan in Clonard, Carberry.
Yes, in relation to this, this occurred on last Wednesday at 11:30 in the morning. A danger party was alerted by their alarm company that an alarm had activated on their property. When Gardaí arrived, they discovered a shed door had been forced open and a ride-on lawnmower had been stolen. Now, this stolen item is rather expensive. It was a John Deere ride-on lawnmower at serial X135R for Romeo. That's X135R. It's a green John Deere ride-on lawnmower, was stolen from the property. So if anyone saw anything, or if you've heard of anyone trying to sell such an item that they believe might be suspicious, could they please contact their local Garda station, and thank you.
Criminal damage to the grill skull in Newbridge.
Yes, so this occurred last Sunday overnight. So from 4 p.m. to 9 a.m, sometime during that time period, in the nursery section of the school, items were damaged by fire. So if anyone was out the Green Road in Newbridge and they saw people, a person acting suspiciously around the Gael skull, or if they saw anything on social media or pictures or anything like that, could they please contact Newbridge Gardaí? If they could aid us, it would be greatly appreciated.
Criminal damage to a vehicle in Nace.
Yes, last Friday, between the hours of 8 p.m. and 10 p.m, in Whitehorn Hall Estate in Nace, at the apartment blocks, a car was badly keyed, causing quite a lot of damage. So again, we request, if anyone was in the Whitehorn Hall area of Nace, around the apartments, around 8 and 10 p.m. last Friday, if you could contact Nace Gardaí, and if you saw anyone suspicious or anything that caught their eye, please contact us.
To Kilcock now, and an armed robbery.
Yes, very serious matter. This was last Friday, the 13th, and it happened at 11:53 a.m. at Rico's shop. A male entered the shop and produced a knife and threatened a staff member at knife point. He then stole a sum of money before fleeing on foot, heading towards Church Lane. Now, this male at the time was wearing black runners, blue jeans, a grey hoodie with a white zip, and he had a black hoodie underneath this with his black hood up. He was a white male around the age of mid to late 40s of average build. Excuse me. And if anyone saw anything that was suspicious, or saw this man, or saw him leaving the area, anything at all, could you please contact Kilcock Gardaí on 01-6757-390 or the local Garda station.
Let's go to Ballymore Eustace now, where we have theft of a vehicle.
Yes, the first incident in this estate occurred around 3 a.m. last Tuesday morning in the Tinney Cross Park estate in Ballymore Eustace, where a black Volkswagen Golf estate and the registration is 141C was stolen without the keys from a driveway. We believe a silver Audi A3 is expected to be involved in this stolen vehicle. So that's a silver Audi A3, and it was around 3 a.m. in the morning last Tuesday. So if anyone was in the Ballymore Eustace area, or even the greater area, and saw a silver Audi, or again this black Golf estate being driven, could they please contact the local Garda station? If they could be assistance, it would be wonderful. Thank you. Hello?
Sorry, I took off my microphone there. Staying in Ballymore Eustace, this time theft from a vehicle, Shane.
Yes, another Volkswagen Golf was targeted in the same estate at the same time, and we believe this silver Audi A3 was linked to that one as well. An item was stolen from the vehicle, and there was a wallet, and items were stolen from the wallet, and the wallet was found on the ground nearby. So again, Volkswagen Golfs were targeted that night. So if anyone saw anything suspicious in that area, or even the night before, or anything like that, please contact us.
Okay, and because time is running away from us, I'll mention the Community Gardaí are visiting as many schools as possible to deliver the Garda Halloween safety talk regarding how dangerous illegal fireworks are. Traffic operations, again, the number of deaths rising on our roads, Gardaí appealing to the public to make our roads safer and please slow down. And crime, security, security advice, always lock your vehicles at night. More reports of people leaving, having vehicles stolen because they're left unlocked. 10 cars left unlocked in an estate in Kildare Town last Tuesday night. So, and someone went through them and the number of items stolen. All of that and more. And if you have any issues, contact your local Garda station. Garda Shane Smith of Clane Garda Station, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
And good morning to you. And because obviously Shane is precluded from commenting on those earlier articles, just to remind you again, officers have been advised, according to Ken Foy, writing in The Independent this morning, to use extreme caution if they approach a criminal named as James Nelly Walsh, a 37-year-old, who's believed to be armed with a handgun. Walsh is understood to be under the highest threat level, is believed to be hiding somewhere in County Kildare, where he has a number of criminal associates. Later, earlier this morning, we played you during our newspaper review a piece of audio from independent.ie about this individual. Have a listen again.
James Nelly Walsh is a gangland figure, originally from Ronanstown in Clondalk in West Dublin. He has survived several attempts on his life in recent years, having become embroiled in a local feud. Walsh has recently been seen in Kildare, having fled a previous bolt hole in County Wexford. Last year, he was visiting pubs wearing a bulletproof vest and revealing to shocked punters that he'd been the target of a machine gun attack weeks earlier. Gardaí were left baffled at Nelly's behaviour in the small community where he was based in County Wexford at the time. In one attempt on his life in Carlow last December, the gangster had a miraculous escape after four shots were fired at him from a 9mm handgun. This was the second attempt on Walsh's life in the space of just 6 weeks, after he was targeted in a machine gun attack in Talla on the evening of October 25th last year. Gardaí believed that Walsh was most likely set up by his own gang on behalf of criminals linked to jailed Kinahan cartel gangster Paddar Keating. Walsh was released from prison in July 2022 after serving a 10-year jail sentence for a botched gangland hit on gang rival Michael Fraser. During the attack in March of 2014, Nelly shot himself in the leg while fleeing the scene. While in jail, Walsh was also targeted in assaults and attempted knife attacks by his bitter gang rivals, and is considered one of the most under-threat people in the country at the moment.
That's audio from the Independent.ie, which is carrying that report about that individual today, that he might be hiding out here in the county and that a major guard alert is in place. A second report by Robin Schiller yesterday wrote that a violent criminal who has escaped from prison is suspected of carrying out a crime wave across the county in recent days, including here in Kildare, where according to the report, Gardaí were alerted to a similar robbery at a shop in Maynooth. That's similar from where else he was allegedly robbing in Kinnegad. A similar robbery at a shop in Maynooth when staff were threatened by an individual holding a knife. Gardaí believed that the violent criminal was involved in all three raid incidents and are currently searching for the suspect. That is the stories concerning both those individuals as reported by the Irish Independent today.